Well, Len, it is very much interesting times for everyone right now as everyone adjusts to the fallout and the consequences and the different situations we've been put into because of the COVID-19 virus. And I think what's happening down by you, though, in the world of golf, a little bit different from what we are seeing up here in Illinois. And all I can say is, our golf courses are closed, but with the weather we've had here the last 3 or 4 days with some what high winds and 3 or 4 days of rain, I'm not sure that the golf courses up here would want to be open anyway, but it's a little bit of a different story by you.
In South Florida, we could use some rain. The golf courses are pretty much open across the state in Florida, although there are a lot of restrictions are in place. I mean, and the courses, there is a little area that's been closed around further south of us, about in the West Palm Beach Gardens area. They did close some courses there after the beach crowd went in. The spring vacation crowd was through there, and Florida's been a positive thing. The sun feel very blessed to be here. The temperature hits got into the 90s quite a few times, which is good from the health side for fighting the disease. And we haven't really played here as much as we'd like, but we are going to be out playing tomorrow and really looking forward to it. Funny, I got some interesting statistics here that I just rounded up today in lieu of this first of what we plan to have a series of podcasts much more regularly than we've done in the past few years. The National Golf Foundation reports that 78% of the public daily fee courses in the United States and 77% of the private clubs are open. Now, I call that very positive news. And it's good that these courses are open. You know, this is not being irresponsible. We care about the health of everybody, but the health of the people who are healthy now matters as well. So if you feel healthy and you want to play golf, you can't just be cramped up all the time. You've got to find other things to do, and golf is certainly a healthy way to do it. We have 36 of the 50 states are allowing golf. Illinois not being one, but one of the 50 is Alaska, where the season hasn't started yet. According to their numbers, 74% of the courses are open, according to their statistics offered today by the Golf Course Superintendents of America Association. So there's some positive news out there. You can get out there and get some exercise and play. It's not the same as it usually has been, but you don't put your hand in the cup to pick the ball up. You don't go in the clubhouse for a beer afterwards. You pay outside. You keep social distancing, which isn't hard on a golf course. It really helps the mental side of things.
Especially when there really isn't much else to do. Normally when people are stuck in their house, they say, well, we'll sit down and we'll watch sports. We'll watch the game tonight. We'll watch a movie. We'll watch our favorite TV shows. And the only thing right now is, first off, there isn't live sports going on. And the other thing is that a lot of the TV shows that you watch all winter, some of them have reached the end of their run for the year. The season-ending episodes come up, and then they go into reruns. And then you have to wonder, and I don't know, some of the TV programs that might have been running into May, you have to wonder if they have been able to film their last few episodes of the season. You would have to think right now they've sent their crews home. You know, the last several episodes of the season may not be filmed, so there may not be a lot of new programming to watch on TV, and I think you can only show people old golf tournaments or old football games or basketball games or baseball games or hockey games so long before people get tired of that kind of stuff. So, you know, a question that I think both of us raised today is what can we do? What can we do while we are stuck in this shutdown?
Even in Florida, we're very fortunate to be here, but the restrictions are there. They closed our neighborhood swimming pool basically for legal reasons, but we have, it's nice to find a place, a lot of space around us. We have squeezed in a little bit of golf, but yesterday we took the elaborate stop of buying bicycles. And I tell you, I need a little practice. It's been years since either of us rode these things, but You know, it's important. You know, the TV thing can carry you just so far, too. It helps fill the time, of course, but, you know, there's nothing like the fresh air and the sunshine. You know, golf provides that in a healthy environment with plenty of social distancing and possibilities, and that's what we want to get across here. We want to get we're not just campaigning for the golf industry, but we want to get the word out that we can do, the healthy people can do these things.
If you play golf, you know, it is a thing you can get outside and do right now in most places. And, you know, I'm not sure, Len, what's going to happen here after April 7th when the governor speaks again about his conditioning. But I do hope if certain things remain shut down for the better part or the rest of the month of April, that there is some reconsideration going on when it comes to golf. I know that up in Wisconsin, I believe Governor Tony Evers up there is reconsidering his stance on golf after receiving large petitions of thousands and thousands of people asking him to take a second look at it. Hey, you know what? You know, a lot of golfers, when we play, Len, we get mulligans. Maybe we could give a mulligan to Governor Tony Evers in Wisconsin and Governor Jay Pritzker here in Illinois.
Absolutely. I think they definitely got a look at situations. I don't want to feel like I'm pressuring them if they're making a decision that they think is a dangerous one. They have more information than I have. However, they have to take into account that a lot more people are healthy right now than are sick. And you want to keep those people healthy and have some, it counts to have the outside activity and the mental health too.
Well, Len, a couple of things. There's been some developments in golf, and one of them starts at the collegiate level. And the first one is the NCAA has announced that seniors in spring sports will be granted another year of eligibility. On the financial side of keeping kids an extra year in college, that situation is going to have to be determined from a money side by the individual universities. And again, I'm just hoping these colleges can keep kids around to play another year if that's indeed what they want to do at that point of their life. So the schools will be able to find a way to make that work. I know that the Big Ten was going to reconsider spring sport activities on April 6th, but they recently pushed that back to May 4th. Sadly, that is one day after when the men's Big Ten golf championships were supposed to take place at Rich Harvest Farms, May 1 through 3, and I'm not sure what that means. I'm not sure if Rich Harvest can be given that championship next year or not, but I know a lot of people out there at Jerry Rich's place have worked very hard to prepare for this year's championship. I'm just hoping at some point, if it's not next year, within the next couple of years, they do get a chance to host that event.
I think the NCAA did the right thing. I mean, I don't know what else they could have done, to be fair to the players. I mean, it's going to be the roster. It's going to hit somewhere. There's going to be a shakeout here, because if you keep seniors stay and you're going to bring in freshmen, and you know, to keep the usual flow of things going, that's the coach's problem to worry about who plays and when and stuff like that. I love the NCAA on that one. I think that's I think it was the right move.
Well, Len, one of the other things that's going on out there is an issue with golf resorts being shut down and closed in various places, a lot of places actually around the country. And while the golf courses in most states are open, the resorts in general are not. The hotels, the villas are closed, the restaurants, the spas, in some cases the casinos and sports books and things like that. And I got to give a tip of the cap to Pinehurst Resort President Tom Pashley and the Public Media Relations Manager Alex Podlegar came up with a way to help support their staffs that are out of work right now by creating an auction with some very unique gifts that may never be offered again. I believe the auction might have broke up late last night, but they raised a lot of money for their staff by having some interesting gifts to bid on, including a package that allowed people to play all 10 of the Pinehurst courses, Pinehurst 1 through 9 in the par 3 cradle. There was an opportunity to basically take over the cradle for the day. You and so many of your friends, you get the course exclusive exclusively to yourself for an entire day. Architect Gil Hans, maybe the biggest name in golf architecture right now, would come down and play with you and your foursome and play course four in the cradle with you. I just think, you know, some of the unique gifts that they created to raise money for their out-of-work staff right now was just outstanding.
Pinehurst has always done everything right. I'm amazed at how well they do. This isn't surprising, but they're innovative. They're always spot on. They get it. I've always said that about them over the course of years. Peach Bowl and Pinehurst, they get it. They set the tone. Then Myrtle Beach is kind of the same thing. Their innovation is coming in golf just to get everything rolling again. And I think that part's going to be real exciting. I think there's a lot of good fertile new ideas that are going to come out of this to start spurring interest in the resorts again.
I did want to express my condolences to Davis Love III and his family on the loss of their family home down there at Sea Island, St. Simon's Island. I'm not sure if you saw the pictures that were online, but his house really went up in flames. The great news, neither Davis or anybody in his family was injured in any way. They either were not at the house or they got out of the house in time, but unfortunately, a lot of everything they owned went up in flames. Davis was quick to credit first responders who got there very quickly, but the flames spread so fast that there was really little or nothing they could do. But it's never a good time to watch your home go up in flames, but especially now. So our thoughts are with Davis and his family, and I know he's expressed the intent that his family will remain part of that community. So I don't know if they'll rebuild on the land they have or move somewhere else within the community, but it was at least nice to see that nobody was killed or injured.
Yeah, I don't think the Loves will be leaving that area. They love it there. They've been there forever, and they're such a big part of that community. But that was a strange thing that happened so fast. You know, there's a message there. Life can turn on you, and I think if anybody can handle this, Davis Love can. I mean, he lost his dad to an airplane crash when he was a young boy, and he's just been a model person, model player. I agree with you completely. We certainly wish him the best, and you know, to fall in this category of bad news, it's makes it doubly worse. But I'm sure he's going to come through fine.
Len, one thing that I wanted to really cover here, and I have only heard of two courses that are doing this, and if you're closed, and you're going to be closed for a while, at least a few more weeks, I would think that courses, especially up here in the north, should take advantage of the shutdown and do their spring aerations right now. I mean, what is the point, and if you get to reopen in 2 weeks, being open for a week and welcoming everybody back and then first start punching your greens? I have to believe that right now, you know, Pine Meadow was the first course that came out and said, hey, we're going to take advantage of this downtime and do this so that when we get reopened, our course is ready to go for the season. And I think realistically, every single golf course out there that does spring aeration should be doing it right now while they're shut down.
That's just common sense. I think you're exactly right. That's just common sense. According to the superintendent's report that came out today, of the courses that are not, other states that don't have courses open, there would be 10 of the remaining 13 are allowing maintenance work to be done on their courses, which is, in Illinois is one of those, so is Wisconsin. I think it's common sense. The good news is that I think that once they are open, you got to think they should be ready for play and play in really good conditions. You wouldn't get but conditions a lot better than you usually get especially in the Midwestern states and the East. You know, you get a lot better conditions than you would have if they were just opening now. I think it's a great idea. I can't imagine any course not taking advantage of this at that time frame.
In addition to punching greens or fairways and tees, I think that every golf course should take advantage of this time to get any kind of work potential on their driving range done as well. Lenny, you know, you and I have seen it for years. Golf courses that get a lot of business, especially if you have a natural grass range, those ranges can get somewhat chewed up if they're not managed right by the middle of summer. If golf is going to run longer this year, and more people are going to play in the fall because they didn't play in the spring, it would be nice to see the driving ranges hopefully hold up and be in better condition as the summer advances and into the fall than maybe what we normally see at some facilities.
Of the courses that are open, the courses are open, but almost from what we can tell us, you know, the ranges aren't. And you might want to think, I would think, that you might want to have it just the other way around. But anyway, yeah, I think you're right. The ranges do get beat up. And if would people just start playing golf now, and later April, early May, whatever it is, and all of a sudden they're just going to be practicing. Those ranges they're going to be beat up, and the courses could be great. It's kind of a mixed bag there. I think you're right. I mean, the ranges need to be taken care of as well as the golf courses. There's no question about that.
Now, there was some stories coming out of the East Coast over the weekend that saying that comments and information was starting to leak out from the club itself. Apparently, members and people on various committees at Wing Foot, the site of this year's U.S. Open, that they are starting to brace for a postponement in the U.S. Open. Now, I know the USGA plans to make a statement, but that statement appears to still be about 3 weeks away. And right now, I'd like to give the USGA credit for not jumping the gun and just saying, well, we're going to cancel and postpone. They're trying to give it some time. Where they could run into a problem is getting all of the different qualifiers in on time for people trying to qualify and play for the U.S. Open. But as we keep hearing about tournaments, well, it's going to be delayed to later in the summer, or it's going to be played in the fall. Well, what does that really mean? And I think we could use a little better definition there of exactly what that does mean, because are majors or events going to get pushed back and be given somebody else's dates, and that other tournament is just going to have to bite the bullet even if things are back to normal by then? And you know, and I don't know, does that mean the fall series on the PGA Tour, are those tournaments going to have to get pushed aside for majors? You know, the PGA Championship is out there lurking, and you know, there's one thought that it might be the first week of September, 3 weeks in front of the Ryder Cup, and that's where, you know, Padraig Harrington and Steve Stricker, the two captains, will maybe get the final input on who's going to make the end of their team. Or the other thing that has been out there is, will the PGA be given the Ryder Cup dates and the Ryder Cup pushed back a year? You know, we've seen the Ryder Cup get pushed back, you know, after 9/11. Could it happen again?
The Pro Tour schedules, they are really a mess. They're going to be a mess. I like you, commend the USGA on the U.S. Open to give it some time, give some of this time to just shake out a little. Sooner or later, you got to start playing again. Well, I think it'd be needed if there's, you know, if we're off and running a little bit before, at least before the U.S., they could cram those qualifiers in day after day, I think, and get enough of them done to merit a bona fide U.S. Open. I mean, that's part of the beauty of the U.S. Open, are all those nationwide qualifying rounds. They did it right by waiting.
You know, we have regionals, and then guys wait 3 weeks to go to their sectional. Why can't they do it 1 week, 1 week, 1 week? You know, if you got
to
do...
Time to play with, no doubt about it.
Yeah, if you do a regional and then the got people that advance, here's the deal. You don't have 3 weeks to get ready. You got 1 week to get ready. But regionals and sectionals are one-day events. There's no reason that somebody can't play one day and then have to go to the next round 8 days later.
This may not be something that materializes, but I found it kind of good to be out there that they were trying to put together Tiger versus Phil number two as a to give it a little live coverage, to go get a lot of perk up a lot of interest in to watch an actual live sporting event again. I don't see any reason why that couldn't be done. You'd have to limit the crowds, and I'm glad to hear Phil is at least chirping about the idea. I don't know whether it'll come about, but I like the thought behind it. I think that it's taken an aggressive approach to getting things healthy again.
Well, Tiger Woods coming out yesterday on Twitter, apparently, and announcing there will be no delays in the opening, the full opening and grand opening of his Payne Valley Golf Course that's part of the Big Cedar Resort down in southwest Missouri. Okay. And I thought that was a good note, too, and something for people to look forward to, because I know a lot of golfers are going to want to travel from all over to go to Big Cedar and play Payne's Valley.
Seen it. I've been on the grounds there. They obviously haven't played it because it hasn't been open yet. But I was there for the and played in the opening of the Ozarks National, which is adjoining it. And there's a lot other things to do there. I think that place is going to just take off with the Tiger Course. And the other golf there is quite good, as you well know. Yeah, that's going to be one of the most exciting developments in golf of this season.
I think we should get the word out that, you know, with the current situation going on, we want people to be able to keep some focus on positive things. And you and I are going to try to make this a weekly venture now and try to have a podcast up just to pass along the news that we have, especially if we can find out about golf course openings and other things to get golfers ready for the upcoming season. Season ahead. Once the all clear sign goes out, people are going to flock to the golf courses.
Absolutely right. We're about nothing but positive stuff on our podcast here, and really looking forward to the next one. I thought, you know, over the years we've done these podcasts based around big tournaments or big events, and now I think it's the time to make them a regular thing. And this could be no better time than this on a weekly basis. So we'll keep everybody posted.